I have observed a tendency in man to want his religion secondhand. He is content if his wife is religious, if his children attend Sunday school, if his community leaders live according to Christian standards. Somehow, it seems easier to a man to have his religion at a distance, to operate it by remote control. The only problem is, that is not true biblical religion. The essence of the Christian faith is to meet God personally in Jesus Christ and to enter into a personal relationship with Him. That makes second-hand religion no real religion at all. A sense of personal relationship with God is bound up in the Bible discussion of forgiveness. Forgiveness means there is a personal transaction between God and man. You can see it illustrated in Psalm 32. The psalmist declares his personal experience of forgiveness by speaking first of the joy of being forgiven, saying, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Then he remembered the condition he was in before he found forgiveness, his agony of spirit while he tried to hide his sin, saying, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Finally, he reported how he found peace. "I acknowledge my sin unto thee," that is, unto God. Now in this study, let us examine that testimony to emphasize the truth. Forgiveness means there has been a personal transaction between God and man. What was the psalmist indicating by his statement, "When I kept silence"? Well, it seems there was a period of time when he had not dealt honestly with God about his sin. Like Adam, who hid from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden, so David tried to hide his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. He tried to get her soldier husband to come home to his wife that the illicitly conceived child might be thought to belong to Uriah, the husband, rather than to David, the adulterous lover. David thought that if he could cover the sin, man would not know. He would not have to worry about God's knowledge of it. Therefore, while busy trying to justify his actions before men, he ignored God. "I kept silence," he afterwards confessed. It's a tragic mistake to keep silence before God when one should be confessing his sins instead. Through the prophet Isaiah, God warned, "Woe unto them that seek to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, Who seeth us? And who knoweth us?" God knows every detail of every man's sin. He does not ignore sin, nor does he permit the sinner to ignore it. Again and again, the memory of sin will come to the mind of the transgressor. "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Yes, God brings sin to the light to deal with it. Take Proverbs 23, verse 13, as a rule which you will follow in dealing with sin in your life. It says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Do not keep silence when you should be confessing your failure before God. You see, God loves us far too much to leave us alone in our sin. Listen to the testimony of the psalmist. "When I kept silence," he declared, "God did not keep silent. He was busily dealing with me when I wanted no dealings with Him. There was a time when I would not admit that I had sinned, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration of spirit. It seemed God's hand rested heavily upon me, day and night. I could not find rest in my soul. My strength faded away as water is evaporated on a hot summer day. God's conviction of me because of my sin was unceasing." David was experiencing what many others of us have experienced. God loves us far too much to leave us alone in our sin. Conviction of sin is one of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit in the world today. Jesus said, "And when he is come, he will reprove," that is, convict, convince, rebuke, "he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." You observe that convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit in the record of events of the memorable day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. Hearing the witnesses of the Christians concerning the Christ, men and women were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You see it manifest again in the response of Felix to the preaching of Paul. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Job 10, verse 14, seems to state the matter most precisely. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. Why does God's Spirit convict men of sin? God loves us too much to let us go on in sin. Unrestrained, men would rush into total destruction through sin. So God restrains us by the conviction of His Spirit that we might be turned from sin to forgiveness and to wholeness in Christ. Understand that God is not angry with you when He convicts you of sin and makes you uncomfortable in it. It is an indication of His love and His desire to forgive. Release from the conviction of the guilt of sin comes only when sin has been honestly dealt with before God by confession and cleansing. How did David find relief? He testified, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest me the iniquity of my sin. Observe the pronouns in David's statement. I, he said, acknowledge my sin unto thee, and thou forgavest me. You see the personal transaction between God and man in the forgiveness of sin? It must be so. There is no forgiveness unless the sinner deals with God on a person-to-person basis. David found it to be true, and so will you. Why must you confess your sins to God? Why is it not enough to confess them to oneself or to one's counselor or to the person who was hurt by your sin? Well, sin must be confessed to God for two great reasons. First, sin is ultimately against God. In his prayer of confession, David said, Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Sin is against God because sin is the transgression of the law of God. And secondly, only God can forgive sin. The Bible clearly says so. Regardless of the type of sin, God alone can forgive it. Blessed is the man who meets God in Jesus Christ in a personal encounter and settles the sin problem with Him. Only in personal confession to God can forgiveness be found. Forgiveness is not in rituals, but in relationship. You enter into relationship with God when you deal personally with Him concerning your sin. God's invitation to the sinner is to come. Why? Well, the sinner is afar off, and he can be relieved of the guilt and condemnation of his sin only when he comes near to deal personally with God. That is why I say forgiveness means there has been a personal transaction between God and man. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, God waits to meet you personally in Jesus Christ. Respond right now on the basis of Jesus' words, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.